In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. The gospel of today is about the Lord healing a man who was demon-possessed, blind, and mute. If you look at the gospel readings for this month of Beva, you'll find that all of the readings have to deal with how Christ can change humanity. And we saw last week how Christ was able to change St. Peter by his words, by his preaching. Today, we see Christ changing the humanity in a different way. And we'll see this when we talk about this poor man. So he was both demon-possessed, blind, and he was mute. Actually, if you look at this, sin in the world does these three things to humanity. It makes us, in a sense, demon-possessed, makes us blind, and makes us mute. When I mean demon-possessed, it means, you know, somebody that's demon-possessed doesn't have the willpower to, you know, to do anything. So when they're demon-possessed, khalas, the demon is the one that is controlling all their decisions. So sin enslaves us. It makes us enslaved to sin. Sin also blinds us, and sin makes us mute. If you look at somebody, you know, how sin can make us lose our mind. If you look at somebody like Herod, King Herod, right, at the time of John the Baptist and the Lord Jesus, King Herod, one day he brought a girl in and he wanted her to dance in front of them, in front of her, in front of him. And he told her, if you dance in front of me, I will give you what? Up to half of my kingdom, right? And us, you know, you look at this and you say, my goodness, half of your kingdom? Maybe this was just, you know, a phrase that he used. No, but he promised as a king to give up to half of his kingdom for one little, you know, temptation or fulfillment of one lust. Maybe if we ask, you know, us today, you know, for one satisfaction of some sin, would you give half of your, you know, what's in your bank or half of, you know, your wealth for one small sin? Many of us would be looking at that and say, this guy's out of his mind. How could he give up all of half of his kingdom for this, you know, just for a dance? So sin makes a man, can make a man crazy. And especially if I am addicted to a certain sin. If I'm addicted to a certain sin, whether it be drugs, alcohol, pornography, whatever it might be, the priority in our mind begins to change. It begins to, okay, I put this thing even above my food, even above, you know, my spiritual life. So it becomes the number one priority in my life. So today, this man was demon-possessed. He didn't have the willpower, and he was enslaved to sin. Maybe some of us sitting here have a certain sin today that we are enslaved with, whether it be anger, whether it be a pornography, whether it be hatred towards somebody. We have a sin that maybe we are enslaved to. And this sin has, you know, riddled my life and made it very difficult to get close to God. So sin can make us enslaved to it and makes us unable to make sound decisions. Sin also can make us blind. Sin is blinding. If you recall in the Old Testament, a man or a judge whose name was Samson, right? Samson was the strongest man. You know, remember reading it yesterday. He was able to carry the gates of the city on his back and you know, take it, you know, somewhere else. So imagine if somebody took these, you know, maybe these doors, both of them together on his back. We'd say that this guy's, you know, it's like Hercules, you know, so he's extremely strong. So he was able to beat the Philistines single-handedly. And everybody was scared of him. Then he got to meet the lady, you know, we all know her, Delilah. And out of his lust for her, he was blinded. To the point where, you know, she wanted, you know, the Philistines that were trying to get him, they told her, hey, go ask him what we can do to overcome him. So she went to him and told him something peculiar. She didn't say, you know, so tell me now that, you know, you love me, tell me what is it that that makes you weak. But look how she says it. She says, please tell me where your great strength lies and with what you may be bound to afflict you. To afflict you. She said that to me. If somebody came to you and says, tell me what your weak point is so I can afflict you. Hey, Yoko, what will you say? Oh, sure, actually, I'm vulnerable in this, 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 and this. Go for it. Yani, all of us, we look and we laugh and say, this guy's crazy, right? How is he going to, you know, the lady's coming saying, I want to afflict you, and he says, okay, you know. So then what does he do? Sin is like this. Sin will tell us, you know, it might not come and say, I want to afflict you, but it does. It wants to afflict you, it wants to torment you. But how does it do it? Just like what happened with Samson and Delilah. So Delilah says, okay, tell me what it is so I can afflict you. So he's like, all right, let me tell you something. So he says, if you tie my hands with 7 bowstrings, then I'll lose my strength and I can't do it. Of course, this was a lie, right? Samson knew he was lying. He was like, okay, I can tell her anything and still get what I want. I can tell her anything and still get what I want. So she goes and tells the Philistines, they tie his hands while he's asleep, and he wakes up in the morning, finds exactly what he told Delilah, you know, on his hands, and of course this wasn't the trick, so he broke free. Even after this, the first time, you know, he didn't get it. So she came to him again and said, you know what, you told me last time a lie and it wasn't it. If you really love me, tell me the truth. So he keeps going and says, you know what, I can keep telling her lies and still get what I want, and, you know, I'll be happy. Sometimes we do the same thing with sin. We say, you know what, there's a sin, and I can keep committing this particular sin and keep getting what I want. What do I want? I want a, you know, peaceful home environment. I want to be able to come to church and take communion and whatever. Sometimes sin, or we want to participate in sin and still, you know, not lose anything. But eventually, sin will rob us of God's grace. Eventually, sin will rob us of God's grace and we'll be forced to choose. So then, finally, the last time she said, okay, now you don't love me and this and that. And actually, the Bible says she pestered him day and night until he finally gave in and he told her. He said, the secret is in my hair. If you cut my hair, then I will become weak. Now, mind you, 3 times before this, exactly what he told her is what she went and told what? The Philistines. So we look at this story and say, what's wrong with this guy? You know, he's like, he lost his mind. He's completely blind. He doesn't see that this girl is going to hurt him. I'm sad to say that sometimes our youth fall into the same trap. When they get into these premature relationships, you know, maybe the girl or the guy doesn't have the bad intent, but Satan certainly has the bad intent. And Satan can use the other person to hurt us if we get into a relationship prematurely. So please, don't go into these premature relationships without the counsel of your father of confession and without your parents to make sure everything is okay, because, you know, sin is out for you. Sin is out to destroy you. So just like the man today, he was demon-possessed and blind. He was also mute. And in case of being mute, sin also makes it very difficult for us to speak to God. When sin is heavy upon me, it makes it very difficult for me to speak to God. And this is because this was the natural result of sin. Sin, when Adam and Eve sinned, they were both shameful and they were fearful. So they hid from God. So the same thing, when we get caught in this sin, or this sin of addiction, or whatever it might be that's troubling our life, sometimes Satan will tempt us with the sin, and once we fall in the sin, then he'll tempt us and say that God doesn't really care about you, and you have no place among the righteous. So then he'll make you feel shameful, and say, how can I go into the house of God after I've done this? How can I face Abuna? How can I face my peers? And then he'll say, you know, he'll tempt you with fear. You know, they're not going to accept you. They're only going to talk about you. They're going to make fun of you. So then what happens? Then the soul becomes isolated. And once we're isolated from the body of Christ, from the church, then khalas, yani it's very easy for him to conquer us. For sin did these three things in humanity. They made us enslaved or demon-possessed. They made us blind. It made us blind. And it made us mute, unable to speak and commune with God. But the good news is of this gospel is that there was a healer. So they took this man who was demon-possessed, blind and mute, and they brought him what? They brought him to the Lord Christ. The only person that can heal and remedy the effects of sin is the Lord Jesus Christ. Not myself. Sometimes we feel like we can fight, you know, Satan on our own, but believe me, this will be a losing battle. He's much more patient than we are. He's got a lot more energy than we do. For we might be able to do it on my own in the beginning, but without Christ, it won't continue. It won't be, won't sustain. And it says in the gospel of today that all the multitudes were amazed and said, could this be the son of David? So they brought a man who was demon-possessed, blind, and mute to the Lord, and then he healed him. And then they were all amazed. They were like, wow, you know, could this be the son of David? Could this be the guy that we're looking for to save us from, in their idea, the Roman Empire? And ours, of course, of sin. Could this be the son of David that could save us from sin? They were amazed. And I think all of us, if we know somebody, or maybe we have encountered somebody who lived, lived going down the wrong way. You know, he wasn't doing the right thing, or she wasn't doing the right thing. And then she met the Lord, or he met the Lord, and their life changed completely. I think sometimes we're amazed when we see this. We look back and say, how could this person who was a thief, a robber, a murderer, now become a saint? How could that happen? How can this person now be in church? Or how can this person now be a priest? This is actually what happened with Saul and with Saint Moses the Strong. Saul of Tarsus was actually killing people and bringing them to prison, thinking what? That he is doing service to God. Is this blind or is this blind? When you see somebody killing and say, this is for the name of God, we look at this and say, this guy's blind. Unfortunately, he's like driving a car recklessly and he doesn't know what he's doing. Saul was like this. Until what? Until he met Christ on the road to Damascus, he was transformed completely and he became an apostle. Not only just like any apostle, but he became an apostle who authored more than half of the New Testament. And actually, some of the early Christians had a problem with Paul. They said, how is this person, you know, he wasn't a disciple, and then he used to persecute the church. It wasn't very easy for them to accept him. But until they saw the suffering that he endured for the name of Christ, they're like, no, this guy's conversion is authentic, and they were all amazed at him. And he became like a shining lamp was put on a pedestal or on a lampstand that it gives light to all the house, to light to all the world. The same with Moses the Strong, or Moses the Black. I think if we take all of the sins of the church combined that we have all here together, it won't match what St. Moses the Strong did. If you want to put it maybe in our terms today, he was the leader of a gang. He was a gang leader. He went, you know, he did drive-bys, he did whatever that the gangs do these days. They deal drugs, they do drugs, they kill, they threaten, they, you know, take bribes and blackmail from people and all sorts of things. He did all of this. And one day, he met the Lord via a monk, and his life changed 360. And today, the church, we all praise him for this conversion. So today, the message is that, yes, I might have a certain addiction, and it might be enslaving. Yes, I might be blind, and I can't see. And yes, I may not be able to speak to the Lord, or I'm mute. But if you meet Christ, he can change all of this 180 degrees. So we look at even somebody like St. Peter. He was accepted. He denied Christ and he was accepted. Zacchaeus was a lover of money and he was accepted. The Samaritan woman was an adulterer and she was accepted by the Lord. So the Lord doesn't care about you know, what your past was. What sins did you commit? He cares about, are you ready to make the change today? There's a man in the Old Testament, a king, whose name was Manasseh. This is not the Manasseh, the son of Joseph. This is a different Manasseh. He was a king. You can read about him towards the end of Kings. And when you read about his story in Kings, you'll find that it just ends and he was terrible. He lived for 55 years. He was king for 55 years. 50 of those years, he did the worst things you can imagine. He had children, like, go through fire. He, you know, had, you know, he made the people of Israel or Judah to worship idols. And he made an idol in the temple of God and let the people worship them. You know, some of us, kida, yani, we commit sin, we maybe commit it outside. But when we come to the house of God, we still have this fear. And we say, okay, yani, I can sin outside, and barahti, that's maybe here. We give it a little respect and we won't do it. No, this guy went even past that. He put up an idol here and he let the people worship idol. The worst. And it was, yani, he made not only himself, but the whole people. And typically, you'll find when the kings do something, yani, of this magnitude, God looks at it and says, I need to discipline him. Like he did with David and Solomon. But with this guy, if you go in Chronicles and you read the same story, you find it ends a little different. You find that the guy, after 50 years, so he was a king for 55 years. After 50 years, he repented. And then God restored him. And how do we know that he restored this guy, this king Manasseh? This was the time, so because he did all of these bad things, God had the Babylonians come and take him captive into Babylon, right? So they took over, you know, his kingdom. So for 50 years, he lived, you know, as a wicked person. He was taken to Babylon. He learned his lesson and he repented. So after 50 years of living in sin, he repented and God accepted him. How do we know God accepted him? I think he's the only king that he was in captivity in Babylon, and then the Babylonian king released him and restored him back to his kingdom. This is unheard of. Imagine, kiddo, if one, yani, if we, like, with, I don't know, with Saddam Hussein or whoever it was, that maybe America went in and captured. After a little bit, he said, I'm sorry, and they said, okay, go back, take your kingdom. And it's unheard of. But this was, yani, told to us in the Bible to tell us that God still accepted him. So even if I'm in sin for 50 years, God can still accept me, and he wants us. You come back and say, I've sinned, forgive me, and I want to change my life, and I don't like sin and I hate it, the door is open. And he came back and he was restored to his first state. Unfortunately, there are two things that the gospel of today tells us that hinder us from Christ working within us, or working with us. One is division. He said, a kingdom divided against itself cannot easily stand. And I think if we look at any army or any military in the world, any military divided against itself will not stand, right? We saw that here in America in the Civil War, in any country that is in civil war. So an army divided against itself, it will not stand. And this is exactly what happened in the Pauline epistle of today, was to the church of Corinth. And Corinth was suffering from this. They were Christian, yes, but they were divided. Some of them said, I'm going to follow St. Paul because he was the one that preached to us. Some of them said, I'm going to follow a guy named Apollos because he, you know, was very eloquent, and they were like in the Greece area, and they liked the philosophy, so he was very eloquent, so they followed him. Some of them said, you know, I'm going to follow Peter because he was one of the disciples. He's authentic. And then someone said, no, we're going to follow Christ. But St. Paul rebuked all of them because of this, because of their division. And if you look at it, you know, Apollos, Paul, and Peter, okay, we shouldn't be following, you know, them. We should be following Christ. But he even rebuked the group of people that were following Christ. Why? Because Christ isn't divided. Christ is unified. So if the people who are following Christ were really following him, then they would want unity between everybody. So division within our houses, within the church, within our relationships, this is one way to hinder God's work in my life, if there are any divisions. So let's sit back and look at our life and say, is there any division in my life? Am I causing any division? Am I a part of any division? Am I involved in any propaganda to divide maybe my co-workers or the people that are working with me? Division will hinder God's relation or God's work in us. And also not only the external division, but also our inner division. The division between me and myself. Sometimes we have this division. We say, yes, we want to be with God and want to live with Him, but we also want to live in sin. We don't want to deprive ourselves from any type of sin that the world classifies as being fun. Abuna, I want to go and I want to go to the prom and the dance and this because it's fun. Everybody else is doing it. But Habibi, this can, yani, you can be exposed to things that are detrimental to your spiritual life. No, no, I'll be okay. And now we're coming up on yani, Halloween, right? Abuna, I want to go, and there's nothing wrong with going door to door and getting, you know, candy from other things. But if you look at the practices, you take a step back and look what people are doing. Setting up kida, these satanic images in their yards. And, you know, if you read about, you know, I think we sent out an email, Abuna sent out an email. If you go to your emails, you'll find a whole letter that His Grace wrote about this. For sometimes we want both. We're divided. We have this division in our heart. Until we can say we can get on either one side of the fence, then this will hinder us from Christ working within us. So division, whether external or internal, will hinder Christ's work in us. Remember what St. Peter said, be holy, or as Christ said, be holy for I am holy. Lastly, what hinders us from meeting from Christ changing us is that evil cannot correct evil. So they thought that Satan can cast out Satan. So something evil can come in and something else evil can come and cast it out. So Christ said this doesn't make any sense, you know, because the kingdom of itself won't stand. If Satan's agenda is to destroy us, why would Satan come and save us? It doesn't make any sense. It's kind of like saying, you know, if we want to go in and, free whatever, a country, right? Or if we want to go and, free the people in Iraq and Syria, right? And overcome ISIS. Does it make sense for us to go and send a military to fight ISIS and then give them weapons? Doesn't make any sense, right? The same thing, yani, why would we, yani, Satan, go and fight against himself? So sometimes we have this struggle where can evil correct evil? I didn't listen to mom and dad, or I didn't do what I was supposed to on my taxes, or I didn't do what I was supposed to at work, so let me what? Let me lie. So hereby we think that the what is evil can correct something else that was evil. So evil will never correct evil. And as the saying goes, two wrongs doesn't equal what? A right, right? Two wrongs doesn't equal a right. So when we... so some people might question and say, but you know, in the Old Testament, it said that an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. So wouldn't this, you know, allow us to deal in such a way? Actually, no. Because when God said this in the Old Testament, He was speaking about those who are in positions of judgment, those who can judge. So He told the people who judge this way as a means of discipline. But He didn't say that this was the general practice for the general population. That's why Christ, when He came, He corrected this understanding. He said, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, but I tell you the new commandment, to love your enemies and bless those who curse you. So, to all of us, we are to bless and not to curse. We are to not to look at what is evil to correct what is evil. In order to correct what is evil, we need something good. This is exactly what St. Paul said. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil what? With good. Overcome evil with good. To put out a fire, do you take a blowtorch and you put more fire into it? No. You get a fire extinguisher. Or you get water, something different. So we need something that is good to overcome that is evil. So if we remember these two things, that divisions are the number one reason that keep us from being you know, healed by Christ, whether we're possessed and enslaved by a sin, whether we're blind or whether we're mute and we can't speak to God and we feel like I can't pray to Him, two things in our life, division and do I try to compensate something evil for evil. May God grant us the victory in our spiritual life and help us to be victorious and to overcome any divisions or any lies buried in our hearts. And glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.